Good evening, Hope. Good evening. If that doesn't get you pumped up, I mean, if the worship music isn't going to get you pumped up tonight, if Braveheart isn't going to get you pumped up tonight, then I don't know what else we can do. I guess we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to come down even more tonight. Good evening. My name is Andy Hermanson. I'm part of the team here at Lutheran Church of Hope. I work on the discipleship team here, working to create the experiences in addition to weekend worship that we have here that's The things that we can be a part of, the experiences, the opportunities where we can understand what it means to live the Christian life, not just learn about God, not just experience God in a building like this, but the ways that we can experience God every single day of the week, every single moment of our life. And I spend a lot of my time at the Des Moines campus, so many of you probably don't recognize me. I'm around here every once in a while as part of the discipleship team here with Pastor Richard as well. But I'm excited to be here. And whatever you've got on your plate this weekend, whatever your week has looked like leading you up to this point, I want to let you know tonight that you are in the right place. In fact, we say this around Hope all the time. We believe it's no accident that you're here. We've been praying for you, and we're excited for what God wants to do, even here tonight in this worship service. So I hope you're excited. I'm excited for this as well. If you are new to us as a church, maybe you've been around a little bit but haven't been paying super close attention, 2014, this calendar year, we're in a season as a church. We believe that God is calling us to dig in to this direction. This season is called Roots and Renewal. It's called Roots and Renewal. Roots, these things that we have that plants have. And we believe in a spiritual sense that we have these roots, that we dig into things. We want to dig our roots down this year into God's presence, into God's word, into God's experience of life in hopes that we can experience the renewal that only God can bring. And we've been doing that in all sorts of interesting and exciting ways. You saw it in the Hope 360. We've been getting together for barbecues. We've been sending people on mission trips, right? We've been digging into the Ten Commandments. We started out the year with that. We've been wrestling with these nearly impossible questions. Questions like, why does God allow suffering? The kind of stuff that you might be hesitant to answer. You might struggle to figure out the reason for. But we believe if we're going to be a church who's going to dig our roots down deep, then we need to be able to wrestle with these questions. And tonight, we're going to continue with week two of our series, digging in probably to some of the roots that you don't think about very often. Maybe you do. You know what? I'm sure some of you just got out of bed this morning. You know what I want to do? You said to yourself, I want to learn all about Lutheranism, right? I'm sure you walked out of your bed this morning. That's what you're thinking. No, but that's what we're doing tonight, because here's the thing. And to start this out tonight, I want to clarify, and I want to answer the question that every guy in this room is thinking right now. Whoa! Was William Wallace in Braveheart, was he Lutheran? Right? No. I'm sorry to burst your bubble on that. Right? It was a little before Luther's time. But I think there's a lot of similarities to that story and the story of Martin Luther, the story, this mission that God has been on for centuries now. And the Lutheran tradition is part of that. So you might be sitting here saying, I didn't grow up Lutheran. Yeah, this is a Lutheran church. But what could I possibly gain for digging into this Lutheran heritage? I'll tell you why. Because I think God has something that's happened over these years. I think this tradition that's come over these past hundreds of years, I think God has something he wants to reveal to us tonight about his love for us, about his grace, his compassion, by looking at it through this Lutheran lens. See, the thing is, around a church like Lutheran Church of Hope, we're proud to be Lutheran, but it's an adjective, right? Some people would never say, they wouldn't even put the words Lutheran and Hope, Lutheran Church of Hope, in the same sentence, let alone a name. But we believe that being Lutheran, there is hope, and it's not because of any sort of liturgy. It's not because of any sort of potluck or whatever you think of when you think of the word Lutheran. We'll talk about that in a little bit. No, it's because there's hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's what we're about as a church. That's what we're digging our roots in tonight. And if Luther were standing here tonight, I think he would have a message for us. I think he'd have a message for us. I think he'd also be very quick to get out of the way and let God's word do the talking. But his message would be this: in Christ, in Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, and rose again on the third day, in Jesus Christ, you are free. Do you know this? In Jesus Christ, you're free. Because of what Jesus has done, you don't have to worry about how your story is going to end. If you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about having the sustenance to make it through the day. If Luther were here, I think he would jump out of the way. I think he'd crack open the scriptures and just start throwing at them. I think he'd probably pull out a verse like Luke chapter 4, when Jesus gets in front of his hometown and he lays out this idea, this reason why he's come. He starts quoting Isaiah 61. This is what he has to say. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. You see, last week there's a reason why we started this series on Lutheranism with this understanding that there's grace. That there's grace, and this grace is a free gift. We talked about Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for it is by grace have you been saved. Right? It's not from anything that you've done. It's God. It's not because you did some ritual. It's because you had faith. It's because somewhere along the line, God gave you this ability to even believe that this is not too good to be true. It's a gift. I think if Luther were still up here and he was still slinging Bible verses at us, I think he'd jump to our Bible reading for tonight. I think he'd remind us that we're all in this one together. For everyone has sinned, right? We're all broken. If you walked in here and you're perfect tonight, that's great for you. I know that's not me, right? We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, do you know this? Undeserved kindness declares that we are righteous, and he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. The penalty of our sins God has set us free from. You see, as Christians, I think we spend a lot of time thinking about what we've been set free from, and that's important. What have we been set free from? We've been set free from the power of death, the power of the devil, our enemy, who can't lay a hand on us, right? The power of this brokenness that's part of the human condition. Christ has come so that we can set free. We think about what we've been set free from often. When was the last time you ever thought about what you've been set free for? When was the last time you ever thought about what you've been set free to? You see, we're part of this story. I mean, the pages of the story, the book doesn't end when you get to the back cover. The story continues for you and I here today. Do you ever wonder, why did God do all this? I mean, what's it all about? Why do we come together on Sunday evenings in worship? Where do we fit into the story? What have you been set free for? And it's a good question. It gets the reason why I started with William Wallace tonight. I think Braveheart is a great film. And I love that clip for many reasons. It stirs something inside of me, but I love that question. What have you been set free for? Another way to ask that is, what will you do with your freedom? You see, the guys in that movie, they have a choice to make. And the choice isn't exactly easy. Are they gonna fight? Are they going to live into this freedom that they have? Are they going to become the people that they are? Are they going to experience this reality where the point it begins to affect the way that they live their life? Or are they going to take this freedom they've been given? Are they going to squander it away? It's not an easy decision. And here's the reality I think God wants to sink into us tonight is, just because we're free doesn't mean that life's going to be a piece of cake. Just because we're free, it doesn't mean it's all going to be sunshine and rainbows and puppies and everything else that's happy. No, many of us have lived life to the point where we understand that that's not the case. Freedom isn't something that's always easy to enjoy. And I was thinking about this week, I was thinking about this fact that sometimes freedom, to be honest with you, sometimes freedom is just downright terrifying. The way I was thinking about it, you can see their picture on the screen. As I was thinking about this, the terror that comes from having freedom, and I don't mean this in a bad way at all, right? I started thinking about my kids. Started thinking about my family. You got a picture of them up here, right? I mean, look at these beautiful people, right? These nice, normal, look, we got them to sit still for a picture. Isn't that amazing? If you knew them, you'd be applauding right now, right? Because let me show you, we took 1,000 photos in this photo shoot, I swear. The next slide, let's go to the next slide. This is how most of them turned out, all right? Stuff like this, right? The photographer was so gracious, so patient, right? But this could not sum up the personality of my children any better. Some of you know them, and you know this is exactly what it's like in my house, right? And when we have this experience with them, and we love them, and we wouldn't change anything about them, right? But it's interesting, the question that people start asking you as you're getting ready to have children, and here's the thing you don't know about my family most likely. 3 weeks, less than 21 days, we're going to add a 4th kid to this chaos in our house, right? And we're excited about that. Yeah, you can clap, right? We're excited about this. But man, it's interesting the questions that people start asking you, right? You're going to have 1 kid. They're like, oh, are you excited? oh my gosh, it just must be so exciting. You get to pick out colors for the nursery, right? You have two kids, it tones down a bit. Three, they're like, okay, hey, good luck with that, right? Four, they're like, are you going to be okay? Like, are you sure you have what it takes to actually make this work? We're a little concerned for you. No, people haven't said that to me, but I'll tell you what, the looks on their face begin to say that. And we've had some moments recently, I've kind of been taking all this in these last few weeks, and I've been thinking about the reality that's about to hit us. And I'm going to be honest with you, I get a little nervous when I think about it, right? And the conversation I keep having with people, they're not helping. But here's this reality. God's given us this freedom, right? And I know we have people throughout this hope community. You would give anything to have this freedom that I've exercised. You would give anything to be able to have your own kids. And if that's you tonight, I want to let you know that God sees that. And I want to let you know that he's here for you for that. You're in the right place tonight because God is the great physician. With God, all things are possible, right? And yet we want this freedom sometimes and we get a hold of it and we don't know what to do with it. It can be terrifying because freedom can be terrifying. And it's not just me who's experienced this. Maybe you're in this boat as well, but Luther experienced this. As part of his life, he just saw this distinction, right? He wrote 95 things. He didn't understand why the church was doing them because he saw this distinction between the message of scripture over here that he was reading and he saw the practices of the church. And he wanted to bring those together. He wanted scripture to tell the church how to live and how to operate. He just put 95 ideas that he wanted to discuss up there. And the next thing you know, he's on trial and they're saying to him, look, Luther, Martin, right? You can be burned at the stake or you can take it all back. Do you recant is the question that they asked him. And I got to wonder as he's in there and he realizes his life is on the line, right? He's been given this freedom to be who he is, to believe what he wants. God gave that to him. And yet there's this intensity that's inside of him. Exodus 14, Israel experienced this. They've been in slavery in Egypt, and somehow God does a miracle and sets them free, and they take off running. And as soon as Pharaoh realizes all of his free help is gone, then he says, well, hey, maybe we should go get those guys. And he sends an army after him, right? And the Israelites, they see this coming. They know that this is going on, and they start heading the opposite way, trying to get away from them. They run into this little obstacle known as the Red Sea. And they're wondering, what are we going to do with this? And it finally gets to the point. It gets to the point where they've had it with Moses, and they start freaking out on him. Right? They say, weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave? These are people who are experiencing freedom. Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still there? Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Do you think they're a little terrified? Jesus even experienced this, crushed with grief. It says in the NLT, that's how he was feeling when he was in the garden, praying for you and I, trying to figure out how he's going to find the strength to go to the cross. I know you experienced this too. I don't need to sit here tonight and tell you that there are challenges. There are times in life when we come to the end of our faith and we need God to pick up the slack or there's going to be trouble. When you come to the end of your rope, I think those are the moments where you have to go back to William Wallace's question and say, how will you use your freedom? Because life with Jesus, it's good. I wouldn't have it any other way. But it's daunting. It's daunting. It's overwhelming. It's so good, but it's never going to be easy. And I don't know where we got this idea that with God in our life, everything would be easy. Everything would be smooth sailing. No, Jesus says, in this life, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It's the reason why Paul in Galatians 5:1, he reminds us that Christ has set us free, right? But make sure that you stay free because you're going to fight these battles. Don't get tied up again in slavery to the law, he says. In that same letter, Paul can say this because in that same letter, he's described this new reality in Galatians 2:20. He says, and it's up here on the screen, let's read this together tonight. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. He goes on to say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So this life I live in this earthly body, I live by trusting in the Son of God. He's saying that because I've been crucified, I live by faith. That's what it means to live in freedom, is to live by faith. You see, Paul's been crucified. In other words, he's surrendered, right? He's let it all hang out. He's gone all in with God. And here's the thing. If you're crucified, if you're dead, then what do you got to lose? It's the reality of Paul's life. He's lived this courageous life, and we read about it in the pages of Scripture because he understands his reality, that Christ has set him free. He was doing these amazing things, these untellable adventures. He lived this courageous life. And getting back to our sermon series and the reason why we're here tonight, courageous life. When you think of Lutherans, is that what you think of? I know something pops in your mind when I say that word Lutheran, so be thinking about that. Some friends of mine here on our production this week, our production team, they decided to make a video, things they think of when they think of Luther, when they think of Lutherans. They had a little fun with this. Think about the idea in your head. What comes to mind when you think of Lutheran? When you watch this clip, see if your idea shows up. Let's take a look.
As the mountain stands still over the valley, so are the Lutherans.
Oh, Kathy.
Well, good morning, Norma. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Coffee?
No, thank you. See, Kathy, I wanted to talk to you about something I've heard around town.
What is it, Norma?
Some people have been talking about how Larry hasn't been wearing suits to Sunday services anymore.
Huh. Oh, well, that he just feels more comfortable in a dress shirt when it gets warmer.
Comfortable? I don't understand.
Well, we just don't feel like we have to get all dressed up if we're still worshiping God. Why? What is it?
Folks have been a little worried that you and Larry have been falling on hard times.
Oh, no.
Some of the prayer team even started going around taking up a donation.
Oh, Norma!
It's true. They're even collecting around town.
At Third Lutheran, too?
No. Seventh Lutheran.
Norma, no! It's addressed to Larry. It's a $20 gift certificate to Only Sport Coat Superstore.
There you go. There you go. You can tune in later for the next episode. Right? Lutheran, this idea, what comes to mind when you think about it? You probably have some idea in your head. I think of a lot of things, right? I think of the Lutheran sway. Lutherans rarely do this, right? When we're in worship, we break it out. When the Holy Spirit's really moving, we start swaying with our hymnals. No, and some of you I know, you don't have Lutheran experience. You didn't grow up. When I say confirmation, you think about a boarding pass to get on an airplane, right? You don't think about reciting speeches or the catechism, sweating it out in front of a whole congregation. Right? But this idea, Lutheran, we have things that come to mind. I put it on my Facebook this week to begin to see what kind of things were out there. And the number one answer, at least among my Facebook friends, maybe this was yours as well, potlucks. Right? That's what we think of when we think of Lutherans. Other people put lutefisk, which is this crazy fish that we eat for some reason from time to time. Norwegians don't even eat it, but we do. Right? Various kinds of colored hymnals other people put. Things like that. Punch that matches liturgical color of the Sunday. You'll get that if you grew up Lutheran. All right? But then there are these other side of things to it. There are some that really struck me as interesting and telling of the experience that people have had. Somebody on my Facebook feed said, when I think of Lutherans, I think of people who are stuck in the past. I think of people who are boring. I think of irrelevance. But I think the one that gets me is the one that says, when I think of Lutherans, I think of people who are bashful in the faith. Bashful in the faith. You see, I just think that's interesting. People of God who have the same spirit, this is Romans 6 is where I'm getting this, have the same spirit inside of them that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, right? We have that same power inside of us, and we're bashful when it comes to the faith. And yet, as Christians as a whole, there are all times in our, we all have times in our lives where that's the reality. But what I want you to know tonight is that's not our roots. No, our roots go down deep. Our roots go into God's grace. Our roots go into this courageous living that we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. Luther talks about faith using his own words. He says, faith is a living, unshakable confidence in God's grace. When you think of Lutherans, is that what you think of? Or is it something different? N.T. Wright, a really prolific theologian in our time, talks about faith as well. And I thought he had some interesting things to say. He says, faith in the Bible is always determined by its object. What matters most is not so much the faith itself, but rather what that faith is in. Faith is like a window. It's not there because we happen to want one entire wall in the room made of glass. No, it's there for the sake of what we can see through it. Faith has an object. It's there for what we can see through it and in order to let the light into the room. It's there so we can see something outside of it. It's there to allow the light to come into the room. And the question that I have for you tonight is, when you look through the window of faith, that is the thing that you're putting your trust in, the source of your confidence, the place where your roots go down to draw this sense of who you are and what you're about, what is it that you trust in? Is it you? Or is it this amazing God that we have? See, here's the thing. As Lutherans, as Christians, we can be confident in our faith because the thing that we put our confidence into never changes. Jesus Christ never changes. Yes, the window, the way that we look at this might change, but he never changes. We have nothing to fear. It's all about the lens that you look through. The way that you see the world, the lens that you look through is important. And if you want to know more about this, you can just ask the 35-year-old man who works at a zoo in Spain. He found this out just a couple weeks ago. I don't know, maybe you came across this story in the news, maybe you didn't, but there's a zoo in Spain that has this relatively regular, but not too often, maybe just a couple times a year, they have this requirement that they have to fulfill to do procedures. They have to do procedure checks. They have to have drills. They have to practice what to do in case of an emergency. Well, this particular day, this zoo employee showed up on the let's practice what to do when the animals get out of their cages day, right? He's 35 years old. He shows up on this day and he apparently drew the short straw, because when they're doing this drill, somebody thought this would be a good idea to have one guy play the part of the gorilla and run around the zoo. This is before it opens. But this guy is showing up for a normal day of work and they say, hey, guess what, Bill, or whatever your name is, right? You are the one who's going to play the part of the gorilla today, right? Makes sense, right? But somebody also thought it'd be a good idea to say, hey, Bob, you need to wear the gorilla costume. We're not just going to have you run around and act like a gorilla. You're going to dress like a gorilla and run around. Not a big deal, right? You're thinking, yeah, that's kind of interesting, but it wouldn't be a big deal until you know the fact that there's one employee who's only been working at this zoo for 2 weeks. And I don't know if people didn't like him. I don't know if he just blew off staff meeting this day or just forgot to check his email. Somehow he got to work and started working and had no idea that this drill was even taking place. And here's the kicker. He's a veterinarian. He has access to the tranquilizer guns. Right? So here's this 35-year-old employee, the guy who just showed up for a normal day of work at zoo. They said, here, wear this costume, run around. Right? The vet sees this gorilla running around. Well, the guy did what he was supposed to do, right? The vet grabs the gun, shoots a narcotic dart at this zoo employee strong enough to drop a 400-pound gorilla. And because this zoo employee that got shot with this thing weighed probably 150, 200 pounds, right? The guy went down. And the guy went down hard. And he also had an allergic reaction and had to be life-flighted to the nearest hospital. Right? Talk about an interesting day at work. And I just think about, what was the conversation like when the veterinarian went home that night and his wife said, hey, honey, how was your day? Right? I'm sure he's like, oh my goodness, you would not believe what happened. And eventually I bet the conversation ran around to the fact that he had learned at least two lessons that day. One, never skip a staff meeting. Two, the way that you filter and look through at a situation, the lens that you look through at a situation is important. The way that you look at the life that you're living, the filters that we use, the lens that we use to look at it are important. When our faith is put to the test, when we're under the gun, these are the things that happen to us. We go to our default understanding of God, right? Some of us grow up with this understanding that God just wants to punish us. If you're under stress, you're going to go to that idea that you have to earn this approval. If you're the one that began to understand that God is gracious and loving, then you get it, right? You can go with that. You begin to understand. And some of us wonder if God even cares. But as Lutherans, here's the thing that we need to understand. One of our biggest contributions to the faith is if we want to understand God, everything we need to know is wrapped up in the cross. And I don't know about you, but when I look at the cross, when I see Jesus on the cross, here's what that tells me about God. One, he loves us. Two, he's willing to come after us. And three, he knows what it means to suffer. He's willing to do whatever it takes for you and I to be a part of his family. We're invited to put our roots down deep into this amazing grace, just as God's people have been for centuries, right? Check out Moses' response around the people in Exodus 14. They've been yelling at him saying, why, right? Why did you allow us to leave Egypt? And Moses says, don't be afraid. This is his response to these people. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. For many of us, myself included, I don't know if I'd be standing still very well. And yet, that's what God calls us to do. Luther experienced this as well, right? He's asked this question, do you recant? He says, here I stand. I can do no other. He says his conscience is captive to the word of God. He can't go against scripture. Not when it comes to the gospel. This is what it means to live a life of faith. This is what it means to be Lutheran, is to experience this passionate following of the Holy Spirit. And here's the best part. As we experience this freedom, again, right, what will we do with our freedom? As we experience that, heaven begins to pop up all around us. We don't just hear God's story. We begin to live God's story. We get these little glimpses of heaven. We begin to understand that God had this bigger plan all along. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece. And I love what this says. Listen to this. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the amazing things, the good things that he had planned for us long ago. You see, when freedom comes into our life, yeah, it's risky. Yeah, it's stressful. But there are these amazing things that come out of it, and God wants to have you be a part of that as well. God wants to use you to change lives. And some of us might be sitting here tonight thinking, there's no way God could ever use me to change a life. To that I would say, you want to bet? You want to bet? Did you know that the way you live your life, the way you carry yourself, the way you respond to difficulties preaches a message? It tells this story of the freedom that you've experienced. As I wrap up tonight, came across a video clip this week and it just screamed this at me. I feel like as a church, sometimes we need to be reminded that we might be the only Bible that people ever read. That there's power in us to proclaim this message. This video is a clip about a son who gets a phone call that his dad has passed away. His dad is gone. His dad has left. He's died. And as you see the son begin to mourn this, he begins to play back these images, these memories from his father through his mind. And over time, as you see these things come together, you understand there were tough moments and there were some great moments. But when you add them all up, there's been this amazing impact. As you watch this clip, I want you to be thinking about your own life. What's the impact you have around you? Where do you need to invite God in to help you live in this freedom to bless the people around you? Let's take a look. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. This is what it means to be Lutheran, to understand the work that God is doing, to understand this amazing grace that he's given us, and to dive in, to take a bath in God's grace to the point that it becomes visible and contagious to the world around us, to go all in with God to the point where we love one another as God has loved us. This is what it means, not just to be Lutheran, this is what it means to be the church. And the last time that I checked, Martin Luther isn't the only one that gets to have fun changing the world. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? I want to pray for you, want to pray for us, that we experience God's amazing grace and that we would be released to be his church wherever we are. God, we say thank you tonight. Lord, for your grace, for the promises that, Lord, if the Son has set us free, then we are free indeed. And God, I'd invite those that are hurting tonight, God, to come up for prayer partners after the service, Lord, to have a conversation with somebody that they love, God, to share the things, the hurts that they have, the things that are holding them back from this life. And God, I pray you'd use us to be the church. Lord, you'd send us as beacons of hope, beacons of light, because God, in you, there is life. Lord, we pray for all of these things. God, we thank you for these amazing gifts, and it's in your Son, Jesus Christ, his name we pray. Amen.